Introducing Recyclico, making lithium ion last forever. Recyclico's patented recycling process achieves up to 100% recovery of battery metals from lithium ion batteries for electric vehicles, including cobalt, lithium, nickel, manganese, and aluminum. Recyclico Battery Materials Incorporated trades on the TSX Venture AMY, on the OTCQB AMYZF, and Frankfurt ID4. For more information, visit recyclico.com or phone us at 778-574-4444. Recyclico, making lithium ion last forever.
You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is Sean Broderick, senior editor at WeissRatings.com. Welcome back to the show, and best of the holidays, and Happy New Year, and Dingle Dangle, Kwanzaa, Boxing Day, yep. Christmas.
Happy holidays, and Merry Christmas, and Happy New Year, and all that to you, too.
Sean, what were the best performers of the year?
Has to be oil and gas. Oil and gas outperformed again. This is the third year in a row. And it outperformed by a wide margin. I mean, their cash flow was just insane this year. You know, I mean, really, really good. And so now the question is, can they perform like that going forward? I'm saying my forecast is, at least in the first quarter, probably not, because we are going to have a recession in the first quarter. At least it certainly looks that way. And so we'll probably see them sell off, just starting to do that now. You know, that's why we're seeing oil dip. We saw China start to open up again, and that helps drive oil prices higher a little. But now they're starting to, like, fade again. Meanwhile, natural gas, I mean, it's actually down at the bottom end of support. I hope this holds. But, you know, if all the terrible weather we had this past week wasn't enough to lift natural gas, what actually will do it, right? I mean, that's the question there. So we'll have to see how it goes. But I'm looking for weaker prices in those. We've taken profits on most of our oil and gas positions now, just kind of waiting for the next bottom so we can buy them again. I still think, despite the fact that oil and gas has outperformed for 3 years in a row, that we could still have a fourth year. That sounds crazy. I mean, it just really beats any kind of Vegas odds you want. But fundamentally speaking, there are some good stocks out there with enormous cash flow. Those are the ones that I'm looking at.
Also, it seems to me already we've heard of one refinery shutting down. The oil and gas business is finding out the less they produce, the more money they can make.
Right, and so that's the thing with the refiners, is that this lower-priced gasoline environment is not good for their profits, so I'm already steering clear of them. But again, that will come around, probably by, April or May, we'll probably start to see higher gasoline prices again. Just in the short term, we're not going to. You just have to deal with that. I mean, there's no point in, like, yelling about it. I think we all made some great gains in oil and gas this year. And so just be thankful for that. It makes up for a lot of other things that didn't do so well.
What was the biggest disappointment that you thought might do well?
Well, actually, it's also the thing in which I took the biggest gains. But I thought that we'd be going higher from here, and that's lithium. Lithium, gosh, it was nearly 300% gains. I think it was 294% on just one stock. We took some other great gains in lithium. But I've sold almost all of my lithium positions because of the recent price action. What's going on is that we are seeing worries about sales of electric vehicles in China this year. And also, Elon Musk is not doing lithium any favors with his shenanigans and is acting out over there. That hurts Tesla stock. And also, we have had a rumor that Tesla's going to cut production at its factories in China. And that's weighing on lithium quite terribly right now. The other battery metals, you know, you can pick and choose, but it looks like we've seen a short-term top in them. That's a shame. Because all the forecast we see is that it's going to be very hard for supply to catch up with demand, and at least in the short term. So we're looking at another year where supply should be tight. Next year we'll have some new supply coming online. So, you know, we'll see what happens then. But I have to think this is a short-term dip in lithium. But I can tell you I'm quite disappointed in its action in the last month to 6 weeks. But now that's an area that I'm in. An area other people are in that's been super disappointing would be either the big-name tech stocks. I don't happen to traffic in those, and they've just been absolutely horrible this year. And also crypto and NFTs. I mean, it's been one thing after another has gone wrong in that space. And so anybody who invests in it, you know, you have my sympathy. I hope things work out longer term. Just right now, it's really not.
Well, I was thinking when NFTs of smoking monkeys were going for millions of dollars, people were buying virtual real estate with real money. I thought, people obviously have too much money on their hands. You could just give it to me and I can waste it for you. Or you can watch the value of a $2 million smoking monkey go down to $60,000 or $200.
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't want to give those guys too much grief because the value of anything is only what two people agree it is, yeah. Right? I mean, you and I think gold is valuable. And so we agree on a certain price for it. Now, for me, gold is actually tangible. That's one reason why I like it so much. NFTs and crypto are not. That's why I've never invested in them. And it seems like you're overpaying for, you know, an address on a server where your thing is stored. Nonetheless, people pay enormous amounts for all sorts of things that really doesn't really interconnect with my universe. So good luck with them. I hope things go well. I don't expect things to go well. I'm more bullish on the metals this year. I'm seeing some really good price action in gold, but more than that in silver and more than that in platinum. And so that's where I'm looking in the first quarter for some good returns. That's the kind of things that I'm actually focused on, hard assets. But I've always been a hard assets guy, so you'd probably usually get that outlook for me. It's just right now, if I want to put a lump sum of money into, say, oil and gas or precious metals, right now I would choose precious metals.
We'll have more with Sean Broderick right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Sean Broderick. Sean, why are you so bullish on precious metals?
It's really the price action. Now, you have to wonder why are the metals acting like this. It's a whole bunch of reasons. It's the whole supply and demand thing. We know we saw peak silver a few years ago. Now it appears we've seen peak gold. I believe geopolitical forces are one of the reasons why gold is going higher. Just because people are worried about not only Russia, but other things around the world. So they're stocking their wealth into gold. Another reason has to be that the markets are anticipating an end to interest rate hikes sooner than later. Whether that's true or not, we don't know. I mean, our Federal Reserve has been awfully hawkish lately, and despite everyone saying how, like, foot-draggers they are, the European Central Bank keeps raising rates slowly but steadily. Japan is boosting its currency for the first time in a long time. So we have to see that really, if not end, have a hint that it's going to end for precious metals to really take off. But why they're going higher now is just anticipation of that. But that's not the real move yet. So I expect we are going to have a recession in the U.S. in the first quarter. Generally speaking, when we have a recession, that's when the Federal Reserve starts to ease. That's no guarantee that they will this time. And I can think of other reasons why they wouldn't. But if they do follow that game plan, which they have followed before, then we'll start to see some easing and we'll really see precious metals take off. So that's kind of how I'm looking at it. Also, keep your eye on copper. I mean, over the past year, we saw a lot of copper production come online. And so I think that's why we saw copper prices sell off so hard in June. But they've come back. There's been resilience. Maybe that's anticipation of China reopening. I'm not sure exactly what it is, but the strength in copper tells us that if we are going to have a recession, it's probably going to be a weak one. Then again, maybe Dr. Copper doesn't know either. So we'll just have to see how that goes.
Could this be an unusual recession in that technically, yes, economic growth is negative, yet we still have strong job performance? I know there's been a lot of layoffs in high tech, but other industries and even tech industries are saying, thank you for laying off those 300 people because I needed 50 of them.
Yeah, that's the hard thing to figure out is the official jobs number and the household jobs number. The household jobs number has actually been quite weaker. What it's indicating is that the jobs recovery isn't as good as the official government numbers. And the more recent data tends to actually bear that out. Of course, as the old saying goes, it is a recession when your neighbor loses his job. It's a depression when you lose your job. I know people who are actually laid off during the holidays, and it sucks. It really, really does. I don't know why corporate culture has gotten to this thing where they give massive layoffs in November. That is freaking terrible. That is not good at all. So people have been laid off. Is it enough to suit the Federal Reserve? The Federal Reserve is really in the world of academia. It's not in the real world. And in the world of academia, they're looking at those jobs numbers, which may be stronger than reality actually is. So that's, I believe, one of the things that the Federal Reserve is looking at in order to stop hiking rates. They really want to see more unemployment in their official figures. Will they get that? Hard to say. So there's a lot of, like, uncertainty here. And so again, all this uncertainty that just makes precious metals look better. That just brings me back to my other point.
I think it's also hard to track people who work from home for themselves because it's almost like officially we don't exist. So how do you track us?
Yeah, I know. Well, you know, it actually seems to me that I've been working harder since I've been working from home because I don't commute now. So I have more time to work.
Oh yeah.
And so there is that. And I know my dog would like me to take more breaks from the computer and I don't, but that is actually one of my New Year's like resolutions to take more break from the computer and just get out and be more active. But I probably made the same resolution last last December. So we'll see how that goes too.
Well, I know I have to do a little more work to get rid of this Santa belly because we start off with the Grey Cup at the end of November, big party, then my birthday, then Christmas, then New Year's. Yeah, way too many opportunities to overindulge.
Yeah, I know, right? So, I mean, maybe Weight Watchers is the stock we should be buying right now.
Well, there's also that company that bets you that you won't meet your weight loss goals. And we'll
what?
Pay you. Yeah.
I've never heard of that one.
Really? Oh, yeah. It's advertised on all the cable channels where you bet that you can lose the weight that you say you will, and they bet against you. And
oh, no kidding.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. That sounds pretty wild. I have not seen those ads. Maybe Canadian cable is different.
Yeah. And of course, you know, the gym memberships, everybody, you know, quit smoking,
oh, yeah,
lose weight, exercise more. And then by the end
of gym membership and I get a trainer. Let me tell you, I'm hitting 2023 running. You know, I mean, there is going to be more money spent on that. And, the thing is that brings up another question, which we should talk about. Can the consumer hold up? One reason the consumer did so well last year. In 2022, which we're still in, at least in the U.S., is because the U.S. government was mailing out checks to people. You know, it was the checks for kids. It was stimulus checks. They were mailing out checks, and people used that money however they wanted, but that really helped consumer spending. We don't have that anymore. And so that points the way toward less consumer spending in 2023. Consumer spending is one of the major drivers of the American economy. So, again, you can see how we can have a recession in the first quarter.
Yes, money for nothing.
Well, you know, I mean, seems like we're fine giving the banks money for nothing. I mean, anytime they have a handout, Uncle Sam certainly bails them out, certainly bails out any company that wants to be bailed up for this or that. So I don't have a problem with mailing people checks to support kids. It really did a lot to lower child poverty in America. You know, and we always complain about our declining birth rate, that we won't have enough workers. So where do you think more workers are going to come from? Maybe we should pay people to have kids. You know, I mean, there are worse ideas. When you consider the stuff that our government does waste money on quite willingly and with open checkbook, I don't mind spending money on kids. Let's just say that.
Quebec gives you 10 grand for your third up kid. So after you've had three, they give you 10 grand for each kid.
Is that per year?
Yeah. I don't know. I think it's a one-off.
Oh, see.
And I'm not really, but I mean, Quebec is
the
trying to.
The monthly payments was actually a huge boost.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not sure.
The federal government has done that across Canada. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, hell, when I was a little kid, there used to be what they called family allowance. And you look forward to turning 16 because it went from $12 a month to, I think, $16 a month, when a dollar was actually worth something.
Right, right. Well, that's another thing we could talk about. What's happening with the U.S. dollar?
Yeah, what
you know,
is
I
happening?
I mean, the U.S. dollar is in a downtrend. It's trying to find a floor now, but that news out of Japan where the Bank of Japan is trying to boost its currency, and they have good reason to do that because inflation is, for Japan, rather high. It's at 3.7%, which doesn't sound like much, but that's a 40-year high over in Japan. So that really seems to have cut some support out from under the U.S. dollar. I believe the U.S. dollar has weakness down to 98.40, but it could find support somewhere else, maybe around, oh, I don't know, 101, something like that. So we'll have to see how that goes, too. But if we see the U.S. dollar weaken into Q1, that's more support for precious metals. Brings me back to my other point, is that for the longest time, the U.S. dollar was strong, and that really weighed on precious metals. Now, with the U.S. dollar weakening, precious metals look stronger.
Sean, all the best in the new year.
Hey, same to you, my friend, and absolutely the same to all your listeners, too. It's always fun talking to you, and we always talk about things. It just gets my intellect going, and it's really interesting to actually speak to you.
My guest has been Sean Broderick, senior editor at WeissRatings.com. If you have any questions for Sean or any of our guests, you can send them to info@HowStreet.com. Our YouTube channel is Talk Digital Network. Find us on Twitter at How Street. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. HowStreet.com radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.